If you will take your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter number 2. We're going to be taking our reading from Mark chapter number 2. I do want to say thank you for all the singing this morning. Sarah, I do want to thank you for your testimony. I was sitting there and trying to pray and ask God, am I for sure where I need to be this morning? I've listened to some different things this week and done some different reading, and sometimes I come and I know that I'm absolutely where I'm supposed to be, and then there's times when I come and I got four or five different thoughts on my mind and trying to make sure that I'm preaching what God wants to give us for today. And Sarah's testimony helped me to realize that, yes, maybe I'm right where I need to be. I can tell you this, that God's word will not return void, and I'll do my best to stay in God's word. And if we'll pay attention, God will use his word and speak to our hearts. And when we leave here, we can be closer than we were when we came. And I promise you that you'll have an opportunity to do business with God before this service is over today. Mark chapter number 2 is where we'll take our reading from. If you will, bow your head and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. And God, I pray, dear Father, the Lord, as we get into your word this morning, that you'll take your word and that you'll speak to our lives. God, I pray that you'll speak to my heart, God, and help me in everything that I do, God, that my life will be used to give you glory and to point others to the cross of Christ. God, thank you for meeting here with us already this morning, for your sweet spirit that we feel. God, I pray that you'll just take your word and speak to our hearts. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they surrender, God, that they finally just say, I'm tired of running. I know that Jesus gave his life for me, and I want a forgiveness of my sins, and they accept you as their Savior. God, I want to thank you and praise you for that opportunity that I had and for giving me grace through all of my life. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Mark chapter number 2. Sometimes during the week while I'm doing my study, and I'll read a passage of Scripture that comes to me and that God will speak to me, and I'll seem like dig into it a little deeper and get a message. And then there's sometimes that things happen in my life during the week that point to a message, and I go search the Scripture to kind of get the thought going to come and to preach on Sunday morning. I feel a great responsibility. I feel great accountability when I stand and preach on Sunday mornings to do my best to feed you spiritually, and also to present the gospel so that if there's one here that's lost, that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this week, I was riding up the road, and I seen a church sign that just jumped out at me and would not leave me. All week long, I've just kept seeing this church sign and what this sign said that I read as I passed. So as I began to read and began to study, these verses of Scripture come to my mind, and I went and read on my, and I argued with God because I know that I have preached out of this Scripture since I've been here. But you know, I think it's, are we going on 5 years now? Is that what we're going on? I've lost track of time. They say when you're having a good time, time flies. So I'm just going to say that. But I think we're going on 5 years, and I've preached everything that I know. So I'm going to start over again. Don't go back and watch them on YouTube to compare which one's better. No, but honestly, sometimes I feel like, man, I've preached everything in the Bible, and I know that I have it. But sometimes it feels that way. And I argued with God this week about this Scripture, and I said, I don't want to go to that Scripture, but this is where God has led us to. So y'all pray for me that the idea that God has put in my heart this week and the theme that I would like to get to, that it'll be brought out through the message this morning. So Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, and again he, being Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. So let's back up for just one quick second and get kind of what's going on. So if you go back one chapter into Luke chapter number 1 and verses 40 through 45, I think it is, there is a leper that comes to Jesus, and he has a condition that is hopeless and that there's no possible way of him to be healed of. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I know if you will, if it's according to your will, that you can touch me and that you can make me clean. And Jesus sees fit to touch this leper, and this leper is cleansed. And when this leper leaves, Jesus tells him, now go show yourself to the priest and tell no one about the work that I have done. And as you go and you read the last verse of Luke chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that that leper went and told everybody about what Jesus had done. There's been many times that I've read that Scripture and tried to figure out, why would Jesus tell this man to go and tell no one? But as Jesus instructed him to do that, he done exactly the opposite. Seems like maybe what I do sometimes, God instructs me one way and I go completely opposite. But he goes and tells everybody about what Jesus had done. So then when we get to Mark chapter number 2, we find evidence that this man went and told everybody about what Jesus had done. As we come into Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and the Bible says that it was noise that Jesus was in the house. And as it was noise that he was in the house, that the house filled up. Now, as we get into Mark chapter number 2 and we realize that this man has went and told everybody about Jesus healing him, and now everybody has flocked to Jesus, but I will say this, it's a wonderful thing that it was noise that Jesus was in the house. Fellowship Baptist Church, if you want to tell anybody anything about our church, I hope that you're telling them that Jesus Christ is worshipped here, that God is the director here, and we're just doing our best to follow God's will for our church and for our lives, to give God glory and to point others to the cross of Christ. We have some wonderful things going on in this church, but the most wonderful thing that we have going on in this church is that on Sunday mornings that we open our hearts, that we open our spiritual minds, and we say, God, we want you to lead, guide, and direct. We're not going to put no limitations on you. If Josh wants to preach for 15 minutes or if he wants to preach for an hour, and I realize some of you'd probably leave if I preach for an hour, that's okay. Those doors swing both ways and you can go anytime you get ready. We won't hold you hostage, but I'm glad that I have never been told, we want you to quit at 12 o'clock. We want you to stop at 11:45. I've been told, actually, preach longer, but I want to tell you something. The main thing is that we don't have any set service that we want to go through. I know we sort of have what we go through on Sunday mornings, but if God wants us to do something else, that we follow his leadership and we do something else. Let people know that Jesus is in the house. Verse number 1 again, and again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house. Look at verse number 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Who's them? We'll find out in just a minute. No, not so much as about the door, as he preached the word unto them. Now listen, as we got so many good things going on here in our church, I want to back up for just 1 second, and let's talk again about Jesus instructing this man to go tell nobody. You want to know why Jesus told this leper not to go tell anybody? Or this is my opinion, this is what I believe. I believe that when Jesus told this leper, don't go tell anybody about what I've done for you, Jesus didn't want his ministry to be about his works. He wanted it to be about his purpose and his word. So as we're here and all these people have come to the house, all of these people have come to find Jesus because it was noise that Jesus was in the house. They've come because of his works. They've come because they have heard about this miracle that he has done, because of this leper that he has cleansed, and now everybody has flocked to him. They're bringing their sick. They're wanting to see Jesus do miracles, and now his ministry is about his miracles and his works instead of the word. And you know, I know that as we're out and we're inviting people to church, I know that sometimes I'm even guilty myself of starting to tell people about things that our church is doing. I'm telling them about the good choir singing that we have, about the good special singing that we have. I tell them about our youth program. I think our youth program is vital to our church, and I believe that it is the reason that a lot of you are here, because you'll do anything for your children, and if you bring your children to a church that has a great youth program, you'll put up with bad preaching in order for your children to be in a good youth program. I understand that, and I'm okay with that, but here's the thing of it. Is we always need to understand that no matter what we have going on, if our youth is going to a hockey game, if they're going to Carowinds, if they're going to camp, all of those works are fine, all of those wonderful things. If our choir is singing and they're blowing the roof off the place, that's fine and that's wonderful. But the most important thing that we can have here is that we are presenting the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talked last week about how the word would convict and comfort and challenge and change us. And it is the word that will do those things. We're living a day and a time where people are, they're hunting a church that has works. They're hunting a church that things are going on that are exciting, and I understand that. None of us want to come to church and be bored to death, and none of us want to come to church and our kids saying, I don't want to go to church, that's boring. I understand those things. But the most important thing is even if they, because I want to show you something here in just a minute, even if they're being attracted to our church because of some things that are going on here, because of our youth program or the choir, or the special singing, whatever it is that is attracting people, we have got to be sure as a church that the word is the most important thing, and we always present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because look, as Jesus is here and it's been noise that he's in the house, And all of these people have come in so much, the Bible says that the doors were blocked up, that the windows were blocked up. But look what Jesus did. He didn't just start reaching out and healing people. The Bible says that he preached the word unto them. And I'm going to guarantee you this. You may not hear the best preaching here. You may not hear the most intelligent preaching here. We listened after we'd done the first podcast the other night. We went back and listened to my voice on recording. My goodness, I don't know why anybody would listen to this. I mean, I might as well stick my head in a 5-gallon bucket and hold my nose and talk. That's what it sounds like. I can't stand to hear myself on a recording. You may not have somebody standing up here with a great, big, God-like voice giving the word of God, but I tell you this, I will guarantee you and I will make this commitment to you. As long as I stand here in this pulpit, I will do my best to preach the word of God. Amen. Look, Jesus said, all of y'all are here. You've been attracted here because of the miracles and because of my works, but while you're here, I'm going to give you the word. I will assure you that I'll do my best to always preach the word of God. Let's continue reading. Verse number 3, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. You remember in verse 2, it said, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. This is the them that the Bible is talking about. As we get to verse number 3, we find out who that pronoun is about, them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. So here comes 4 guys. I'm assuming they could possibly have been friends, at least acquaintances. And they have got together and they've got a friend or an acquaintance that is paralyzed. The Bible tells us that here they come, knowing that Jesus is in the house, hearing about the works of Jesus, knowing about the miracles that Jesus can do. Here they come, 4 of them, bringing their friend to Jesus. They knew that he had a need. They knew that he needed to get to Jesus. So the 4 of these guys, they decide that together we're going to bring this person to Jesus. Now, nowhere along the way do I find that these 4 people were asking this person what he'd done in order to be in the shape that he was in. I don't see that the Bible tells me that these 4 were saying anything like that or trying to judge him or trying to help. They just knew they needed to get their friend to Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something. There's going to be people out here in this world that you bump into. And for whatever reason, they're in a really bad shape. They're in a really bad circumstance, and they need Jesus. I want to tell you something as a church. We don't ever need to be judgmental. We don't need to be looking down our nose. We don't need to be saying, well, they got themselves into that place. The only thing that we need to worry about is getting them to Jesus and let Jesus take care of the rest of it. If we all get into our own closets where our skeletons live, if we get into our families, where our family skeletons live, we all, if we laid it all out, we'd all be ashamed of some stuff that lives in our closets. Why in the world do we think that it's necessary to dig in anybody else's closet, find out what's going on in there? Because I'm going to tell you what, Jesus handled my skeletons, and Jesus can handle theirs, and he can handle their problems, and he can handle yours if we'll just give them to him. Here they come bringing one to Jesus. And when they cannot come nigh for the press, verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You know, Sarah was talking a few minutes ago about their friends inviting them probably a dozen times before they come to church. And as I began to read this scripture this week and began to study on it a little bit, I got to thinking about the roof of a house. Now, we know that one of the most important parts of a house is the foundation. And on the opposite end of the foundation, you find the roof, which I think would probably be a very important part of the house. You let your house, roof at your house begin to leak, and you're going to get it fixed, covered up, something really quick, because it's going to break down the integrity of the rest of the home. So this roof is very important. And as these people, they come up, there's 4 men, they're dragging one of their paralyzed buddies to Jesus. As they get there and there's no way to bring it in, they didn't look and go, you know what? We know that Jesus is on the inside. We know that Jesus can help our buddy, but this is hopeless because there's nobody out there. And then one of them, when they looked at the roof, they didn't say, yeah, but you know what? I don't know that it's worth tearing the roof off of a place to get this man to Jesus. I don't know. I mean, we're going to cause a lot of damage. Man, this is really important. I want to tell you something, church, that there is nothing in this world that's more important than getting our loved ones to Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important. Let me back up. Not even our loved ones, but let me back up and say this. There is nothing more important than getting someone that is lost in their sins to Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important than being sure that we get people to Jesus Christ. Here they come bringing their buddy. They find a hopeless situation. They didn't just turn around and go back. They didn't lay him down and say, man, I'm tired. We've carried him a long ways. There ain't no way in. Sorry, man. We done all we could do. Because you know what? That's what I do with my loved ones sometimes. I go and I pray and I pray and then I say, now, God, it's in your hands. Well, you know what? Let me see if I can say this straight. God don't have to have me. God can do his work without me. But I want to tell you this. Sometimes God wants to use me in order to do his work. God could have healed this paralyzed man wherever he was at. But look at the faith that these four men had by putting him on a stretcher and bringing him to Jesus. And as they got there, they didn't just give up and say, well, we've done all we can do. I guess we're just going to leave you here. As I do sometimes. Well, I've prayed for them. I've talked to them. No, they were determined to get this man to Jesus no matter what it took, even in the middle of a hopeless situation. Now, let's get to verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, we stopped right there. I mean, this is just a blow to everybody's mind that was in the house. Here, they brought this man that was paralyzed. He needs a physical healing. Anybody that was there in the room knows what this man needs. And as they bring this man to Jesus, first of all, let's talk about this. The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four men that brought him, I want to tell you this, as Jesus looked at him and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, it wasn't the faith of the four men that saved him. It wasn't their faith, because in order for you to receive salvation, you have to have faith. I can't have enough faith for you to be saved, Shane. It's just impossible. But I want to tell you what happened. When Jesus saw the faith of the four men, the faith of the four men was so strong that it brought that man to a place that God could deal with him individually. It brought that man to a place where he is in the presence of Jesus, where he is in the presence of God in the flesh, and now God can take care of the need of this man that they've brought. Their faith didn't save him. Their faith brought him to a place where God could deal with him individually. You can't have enough faith for your loved ones to be saved. You can't have enough faith for your loved ones to love Jesus Christ. But what you can do is you can have enough faith and you can have enough trust in God to get your loved ones to the place where God can deal with them individually. Verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said in the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Look, it blows everybody's mind. He says, verse number 6, but when the certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Amen. I mean, they were speaking the truth. And just too ignorant to realize it. I've been there before, so I ain't going to throw off on them too hard. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Now look, Jesus looks at them and says, thy sins be forgiven them. And he went, they can't nobody do that but God. This man's blaspheming. Because he just did something or says he's doing something that nobody else could do but God. The Bible says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Jesus knew what they were thinking. They didn't say it out loud. He knew what they were thinking. And he says, why in the world are you even thinking these things? He says, whether it be easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. He said, now guys, which one's easier? Now as we all stand here today, him and the scribes that is doubting this, he said, now which one of you can tell this man thy sins be forgiven thee? Nobody but God. But now which one of you could tell him to take up your bed and walk? Nobody but God. He was fixing to show them something. He was fixing to grab their attention just a little bit. Verse number 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. He says, you know what, even though that y'all are doubting, and even though that y'all are doubting who I really am, even though I've told you, and even though that I've showed you, he said, I'm going to do this. Since you can only believe by seeing the physical work that I can do, I'm getting ready to do a physical work so that you can believe that I am God, so that you also know that I have forgiven this man's sin. So Jesus looks at him and he says, I tell you what, son, get up, take up thy bed and go thy way to thy house. And in verse number 12, as you read it, the Bible says, and immediately he took up his bed and he went his way to his house. That's JLS version. That wasn't King James version. Okay, I'll paraphrase a little bit. So as this guy gets up, he takes up his bed and he goes to his house, and the guys can see that he is fully, wholly, physically healed. And that's wonderful. That is awesome that Jesus had the power to look at him and say, I am going to heal you physically. I'm going to reach down. I'm going to heal this palsy, this being paralyzed, this condition that you have. You are not going to be paralyzed anymore. And I love the fact that Jesus told him, take up your bed and go to your house. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus healed him completely. He didn't leave there with a limp. He didn't leave there being weak. He didn't leave there needing help. Jesus said, you get up and now you carry your bed and you go to your house. But I want you to know what excites me even more than that is knowing that when Jesus looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven thee, that was wholly clearly done also. That was done complete when Jesus said that. That Jesus didn't look at him when he healed him physically and said, I'm going to heal you, but you're still going to have a limp. He didn't say, I'm going to heal you, but you're still going to have some help getting home. I'm going to heal you, but your buddies are still going to have to carry you back to the house. But Jesus said, I'm going to completely heal you. And then also Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm glad that when Jesus forgave this man's sins, when Jesus forgave my sins, that it wasn't that I'm going to forgive your sin except for this one, and this one, and you're going to have to do a little work to get your strength up before those go away. But no, the night that I fell down on my knees as a seven-year-old boy, and I said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, that he washed all of my sins away, that I'll stand guilty of none when I stand before God, that when I stand before God, he'll see that my black heart that was stained with sin was washed in the red blood of Jesus Christ, and it will be white as snow only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Completely forgiven. I'm not guilty of any sin this morning. I'm not almost clean. I don't have a few spots on me, but I am fully clean as I look and as I stand in the presence of God this morning. I'm brand new, washed. Now, let me give you the thought that we're trying to get to the whole time. Great scripture. I love this scripture and some of the points that it has in it. But the sign that I seen this week that spoke to my heart, when I read this sign, here's what the sign said. If I don't read it, I'll get it wrong. Will anyone be in heaven because of you? Man, when I read that, it smacked me upside the head. God reached in and started to squeeze my heart. Hey, we do a lot of things here on this earth. Maybe to help a neighbor, to help a friend, to help someone in the family. We do a lot of things to physically help, just as Jesus did. As Jesus looked at this man and he said, take up thy bed and walk. But more important, you know what? This man could have lived this whole life, been paralyzed his whole life, and been forgiven of his sins and been okay. But he could have been physically whole and left this world sin-sick and had an eternity in hell. Let's just put it plain. And as we go from day to day, my question to you is this, and my question to myself, and as God spoke to my heart this week, will anybody be in heaven because of you? These four men, they decided that no obstacle was going to stand in their way. There was nothing that was more important than what they was fixing to do. That there was no way in the world. It was noise that Jesus was in the house and that Jesus could handle the problem of their friend. And they decided, no matter what, they determined in their hearts that they were getting their friend to Jesus. My question to us this morning, my question to myself, God speaking to my heart, is will anybody be in heaven because of me? What are we letting stand in our way of bringing our friends and our family and just lost people in general to Jesus? It's noise that he's in the house. Each and every one of us that's here and been saved, we know what a difference that Jesus can make in someone's life. We know how that Jesus will forgive our sins, that he'll put you on the straight and narrow, even though we may bear off from time to time, but he'll remove you from the miry clay and he'll take you and set your feet on a solid rock and he'll establish your goings. We've all experienced that for ourselves. We know what Jesus can do for our lives, but what is hindering us from taking that to a lost and a dying world? What's hindering you from talking to your brother or your sister that might be lost? What's hindering you from taking it to your family somewhere, for your co-workers, for somebody that lives up the street, down the road, across the holler, wherever it is? There are people everywhere dying. They're going to hell, and we as Christians, we have the solution. solution to that. I know my faith can't save them, but as the Bible teaches, my faith can take them to a place that God can deal with them individually, but I'm afraid that I'm letting obstacles stand in my way of getting people to Jesus. God, help me. I couldn't say amen at the end of that. Because you know what? I'm letting my successes, my failures stand in the way. I'm letting my schedule stand in the way. I'm letting my pride stand in the way. I'm letting what people think about me stand in the way. There's all kinds of obstacles that may be in your way. But I'm going to tell you something. If we ever really get a good grasp on how the Bible tells us that we all stand before God, and when we stand before God, there's no more chances, there's no more ifs, there's no more buts, there's no more anything, that you'll stand before God and our loved ones will stand before God, and if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they will be cast into hell. That's not pretty. There's no way to make it pretty, but it needs to become real to us so that we'll be like these men and decide nothing is going to stand in our way of allowing our faith to get our loved ones to Jesus Christ. So as I read that question, as I read up the road, and I seen, will anyone be in heaven because of you? Seemed like God spoke right back to my heart and said, will anybody not be in heaven because of me? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's been an opportunity that I should give someone the gospel. There's been an opportunity that I should have reached out to someone. There's been opportunity, let's just lay it right on the line because we don't like to talk about this, but that my life has pointed away from the cross of Christ instead of to the cross of Christ. I'm glad y'all haven't done that. Amen. Yeah, we are all guilty. We all sit here. So two questions for you this morning. Will anybody be in heaven because of you? Will anybody not be in heaven because of you? I was listening to a song as I was studying this morning for just a few minutes. It's an old song. The song says, "You never mention him to me." Some of you might be familiar with it, but it really talks about a man standing in judgment. And as the man standing in judgment, or the person, their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're thinking of someone that was in their life, and they said, "Why did you never mention Jesus to me?" Church, we're blessed to have an opportunity to sit here under the Word of God this morning, to know the gospel, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it doesn't take very long. Used to, everybody knew about Jesus Christ. Now, it don't take long to bump into somebody that has no idea who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them. I was pastoring a church in Mount Airy before. Hannah, if you will, come on, get us an invitation with him. I was pastoring a church in Mount Airy a brief time before I came here. We done a youth day. At that point in time, I had a little miniature horse, and he was cute and mean as he could be. And I took him down there, and I had a little cart that went behind him, and we just opened it up to the community, and we had bounce houses there that day. Man, I was a young, fired-up preacher. I was going to save the whole community that day. I mean, it was not that I was going to save the whole community, but I was going to get the whole community saved that day. Fired up. And I was out there having a good time. We had a good turnout. We was feeding people. Again, we was using the works to attract them, but we was trying to give them the word on the backside of that. But there was a little boy, and he was in the little horse carriage there, and we was walking out through the field, and I was actually standing behind the little carriage, and I was driving the horse, and me and him was talking, and I asked him, I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" He said, "Nope." And I said, "Well," I said, "I'm the preacher here." And he was probably about, I don't know, 9 or something like that. And he looked up at me and he said, "What's a preacher?" And I'm like, right here in Mount Airy, there's a kid that's never been to church that don't even know what a preacher is. Church, it's wonderful that we're having a good time in God's house. I love being with y'all. Man, last week I left here with just a fire burning in my gut, the way that God just blessed our service. So tickled at what God's doing in our church. But if all we ever do is come to church and we don't take the gospel to a lost and a dying world, we're failing. We're missing it. I'm glad that you're saved. I'm glad that you're on your way to heaven. I'm glad that we'll meet in the sweet by and by. That's wonderful. and that we know that Jesus is the most wonderful name. But why are we not taking that name to a lost and a dying world? Why are we walking by people who need to be carried to Jesus and we're not carrying them? We're letting obstacles stand in our way. We're letting things turn us away from taking people to Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. If you're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God, I just want you to take a look just for a moment at your life, just as I had to mine. I want you to ask yourself a question. Will anybody be in heaven because of you? Part two, will anybody not be in heaven because of me? Only you and God know the answers to those questions. I know that when God spoke to my heart with those questions, that it broke my heart. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you. As God is speaking to your heart, as God is moving on your life, don't miss an opportunity to come and know Jesus Christ. There is no better life. You can go through this whole life with everything, and if you miss Jesus Christ, you've missed everything. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I know that I'm a failure. God, I know that I need to be doing more. God, it's not that you need me, but God, that you want me. And I'm thankful for that. And God, I pray that you'll help me to use my life to take others to the cross of Christ. Not that my faith will save them, not that my works will help them, but that they'll be in a place where you can deal with them individually. God, I pray that you'll help us, maybe even on a daily basis, to ask ourselves, what are we doing to help others see a way to get to heaven? And God, help me to never be the reason that somebody won't make it. God, help me to keep my life in a way that points to you. God, help me to keep my life in a way that my talk matches my walk. God, I pray that you'll help me to keep my life in a way that I don't say one thing on Sunday and live another on Monday. God, I want to thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. This altar is open if you need to come and talk to God. If you need to come and maybe take maybe you have took a quick self-evaluation. And you say, man, yeah, I don't know. But there are some things I need to change. There are some things I need to allow God to change in my life. This altar is open. As you stand to your feet this morning, if you need to come and talk to God, this altar is open for you.